Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bring in Trista Crick, who's been very busy across her social media platforms. Before we talk about any of that, let's go here. I have the perfect guy for the Kings. We'll be on in 30 minutes to let y'all know. 30 minutes is right now. If it happens, I want Kenny's courtside seats.
Well, that's not what she said.
That's exactly what it says.
That is not what's there. And it's exactly what it says. I don't have courtside seats, well, so it shouldn't say that.
We all know that's a lie.
Why? They call you courtside Kenny.
I don't know why. TK, you've been to games with me. Have I sat courtside? No.
Why did you ask her a question, then answer for her?
I've only been to a couple of games.
You know what I did yesterday, by the way, and Kenny, and you'll love this. I bought a Kith shirt.
Yeah, that's facts.
I did. I'm trying to get in the cool ticket. And you know which one I bought?
Which one?
Donald Duck is on it. I thought it was so dope. Yeah. I was like, this is fire.
I was just looking at that collection this morning, actually.
I was like, TK going to be proud of this. Little fire.
They had some good stuff on there.
We took a joint look at the Sesame Street collection, but ultimately went with the Donald Duck crew deck that I thought was fire. Because I'm a Disney guy.
I like Oscar the Grouch. That's my jam.
That's a good one, too.
Probably is more fitting of me than Donald Duck. Donald Duck.
I just like the ones that, like...
I hate how much you agreed with that, by the way. Like, you could have been like, nah, that's not you. But you're like, yeah, that's you.
I just...
Yeah, I mean, hey. We are all honest with each other. You know, we know what we're good at.
Yeah, we are.
You know.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
At the end of the day, like, Kenny's more sunshine. You're more rain clouds.
Oh.
Well, I wouldn't say, damn, rain clouds.
Well, that's... she's not wrong.
Damn.
She's not wrong. I mean, some people like cloudy days. All right, TK, who is it?
It's going to hurt. The trade is going to hurt.
All right.
The trade is going to hurt. The trade is Trey Lyles, who I'm sure you're fine with. Kevin Huerter, who I'm sure you're fine with, and Keegan Murray, which will hurt. And I don't know about the draft assets. Like, I think you could probably get away with no first round picks for Jeremy Grant.
I knew you were going to say Jeremy Grant.
Did you know that?
Well, when you started
been in our text threads over here.
when you started naming some players. I said, oh, there's only one guy. So, okay. We'll have the conversation right now because TK brought it up or whatever. And this is just what we do. A lot of people in the chat are saying, no, they want Keegan Murray. Here's the question that I would ask, especially with where the Kings are right now and what they're trying to do. Do you think that Keegan Murray will ever be as good as Jeremy Grant? If you say yes, or like be better.
Why don't you answer the question first?
I was asking Trista.
I, I think I'm going to answer that question in a little bit of a different way, because I don't know. And I've been wrong about Keegan Murray since pre-draft, right? Like, I wasn't super high on him coming out of Iowa. And now here I am advocating for him to be with his twin brother on my Portland Trailblazers. But what I will say is that the real question is that, is Keegan Murray ever going to be on De'Aaron Fox's timeline? Is Keegan Murray ever going to be on DeMar DeRozan and Domas Sabonis's timeline? I don't think so. I think he's good for a rebuilding team. I don't think the level of consistency that you want out of a player like Keegan, you're going to get for another couple of years. His booms are amazing, and it tells you what he can be, but his busts really give you a lot to be concerned about. And you guys just played the De'Aaron Fox clip about him saying, like, listen, I'll sign if I feel like we're winning. Like, I'll sign an extension right now, but if we're not, then deuces. So I think all roads kind of have to lead towards making sure your franchise player feels like everybody's aligned on his timeline, can contribute to their role in terms of actual contention. And I don't think, as painful as losing Keegan would be, Jeremy Grant shooting like almost 40% from three, and he's not even getting that good of looks from the teammates that he has on my very much rebuilding squad. So that's how I would put it. And I think it would be very, very exciting if he could even get anywhere close to Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's an incredible player.
I think Jeremy Grant is a really good ball player. And at the very least, I think, like, they're even. I'm not sure if Keegan can't eventually be better than Jeremy Grant, or that Jeremy Grant is, like, for sure better than him. But I think they're even. Here's one thing I'll say about that trade though, TK, is I'm going to need more. Mm-hmm. I just gave you three guys.
Oh, and you get Duop Reef as well.
Well, that's not good enough. I want Anthony Simons because I need scoring off the bench.
You'll never get that. You'll never get that.
We don't have a deal.
Okay, well, then you continue to lose your franchise players, blow up.
What are you guys doing with Anthony Simons?
Like, right now, I think what's happening with Anthony Simons is he's a victim to the fact that Scoot Henderson just hasn't really developed as quickly as people thought. And so I don't think the team really knows whether Scoot can be the franchise point guard. And we know that Anthony Simons is probably not that guy either. He's undersized. He doesn't play defense. But the market doesn't suggest that they're really able to get anything valuable from Anthony. And he's still a very high upside scorer. Mm-hmm. He's still, you know, in that CJ
Doesn't like the Emma doesn't like the trade either.
Emma's not a fan. Emma. Messing up my hit. Anyway. So you're not going to get Anthony, and the money wouldn't match anyway. You'd have to give somebody back that you don't want to give if the money, like, that money makes sense. Like, you need another probably backup center. So that's why I gave you Duop. But everything else, it's the only way that the money matches. And I think you gain, Collinger's model says you gain like one or two wins, but I think it's actually more than that. Because Jeremy Grant could legitimately give you 40 on a given night, like 35 points. I'm not even... He can. He can.
No, okay.
Not a lot.
No, it's
not a lot. Like, what? Once every 20 games.
What do you
once
think,
every 25
man?
Games.
Well, let me ask y'all a question. If it wasn't for money, would you trade those three players that Trista named for Jeremy Grant? Like, if you just wiped out, if you wiped out the money and it's just like from a talent swap, it needs to be Keegan, Kevin, and what'd you say, Trey, mm-hmm. for Jeremy Grant. Because our bench is ass right now, and you've just pulled two people off the bench.
That's why I say I need another player. I need another player.
So talent-wise, does that line up?
Talent-wise, I don't think it does. But what I would say about that is then maybe you would look at some guys like, you know who I think you would like a lot is like a guy like Delano Banton. He's been like really good as like a kind of a rangy wing. He can shoot, he can handle the ball. Like, he doesn't make a lot of money. He's got high upside. He's still young. I mean, he's just like a depth piece. Like, in terms of like needing depth, if you were going to go 3 for 3, then that's how I would do it, is looking at guys that are younger, aren't a part of the Blazers' future. But I think, like, you look at what this Kings team needs, and there's not that many players that fill that need. that can, like you said, have Mike Brown's trust, can shoot the three, can slash, can play make, can do a little bit of everything, and also is okay taking a backseat to a franchise player like he did with Damian Lillard when they, you know, found a way to team up together after the Olympics. So it's hard because a lot of these guys that you want to go after that are good three-point shooters, they don't do a lot of other things well. Are they going to shoot well for you? Are they going to keep in the, like, good graces of your head coach? But also, like, are they high character? Like, do they want to be there? Like, Cam Johnson's another good one, but you're probably going to have to pay a lot for Cam Johnson. And I think the Blazers will soften their stance on Jeremy Grant because they were asking 2 first-round picks for him. And now I think it's just 1 first-round pick. And that's why I think if you were to trade Keegan, then you wouldn't have to trade a 1st-round pick at all.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people on the trade talking about, or in the chat talking about how crazy the trade is.
I don't think it's crazy. Like, I don't think I like it.
Yeah, and there's a difference with that. But, like, I don't know.
Emma doesn't like it either. Emma with me. Like, I don't know what to tell y'all. This is what happens. Emma must be a Keegan Murray fan.
I don't know what
a big Keegan Murray fan.
I don't know what people think you're gonna get for Cam Johnson or Finney Smith. Like, I don't know if you think, like, oh, we can trade them Orlando Robinson and get Cam Johnson.
No,
you're gonna trade somebody that you really like. I'm not even sure Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter are enough. Trey isn't expiring. Kevin is not. And everybody's trying to run Kevin Huerter out of town. Like, if you think he's no good, why would somebody want a year and a half of him? You know
that's
what I
right.
mean?
They might think Mike that's thinks.
Well, yeah, that's true. Remember we said not every player is the same on every organization. And, like, you look at what Dennis Schroeder was for the Lakers, and he was okay. And then he goes to the Nets and is, like, balling the F out. And now, like, Golden State finds a way to get him. Dennis Schroeder was arguably one of the most coveted role players – guards specifically, like, out there for this trade season, because he's been, I think he's top 5 most ball dominant players right now in the NBA, and has just been getting the Nets way too many wins. So it's got, whatever it is that you need, whatever that player is, whoever that is, it's gonna hurt. You're gonna have to pay either a bunch of picks and then salary match, or you're gonna have to trade somebody young and good, which you only have one of those. So, I don't know. Unless you're going to operate on the margins and get depth. That's really it. Take flyers on that. I know it doesn't sound good. It stinks.
I don't think that's the gamble. I don't think Jeremy Grant's the gamble I want to take.
All right.
I'm intrigued by Jeremy Grant. Like, much like the group chat, I didn't have an answer one way or another. But I'm just thinking, like, not even like the margins of the trade. I'm thinking like giving up Jeremy Grant, giving up Keegan Murray to get Jeremy Grant. I'm open to thinking about it. I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, and especially in that trade, because like I said, I need more players back because I'm kind of like gutting the roster a little bit.
Yeah, my bench is dead, and you just made it deader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
no, that's
25 minutes of Colby Jones a night.
I get that.
With all due respect.
But Jeremy Grant, like, I think Jeremy Grant and Keegan is a good comp. Like, I think they're
money solving everybody's problems. Colby Jones to trade.
I think those two are pretty comparable. Like, I guess a lot of people just don't think Jeremy Grant is any good. I think they're kind of tripping.
I think
that
Trista's trying to take advantage. Like, are you out on Keegan?
No, I'm not out on Keegan.
I don't think you are. You want him on your team. You're not out on Keegan.
No, I'm not out on Keegan. I just don't know if I've seen the best of Keegan already. Like, is he going to be this 20-point-per-game scorer?
He's a third-year player.
Do you think that he can get to a 20-point-per-game score? Like, you look at how he plays. You look at his bag. You look at how he handles and how he gets a shot. Is there more there?
Yes, I think there is.
Okay.
That is the thing that I didn't like about Keegan coming into the draft, honestly, is the way that he handles the ball, the way that his body moves. Like, listen, the point still stands. Keegan Murray is a little stiff. Like, he doesn't move the most fluidly for, you know, a guy that a lot of people were super high on pre-draft. he's just one hell of a shooter and can rebound the ball and play good defense. Like, he's just a very good utility guy. I don't know that he'll give you – I don't think you're gonna, he's going to give you 20 points a night consistently. That's just what I think. But maybe it's one of those situations where he has to be in a different situation with different players around him. Because clearly, like you guys said, something has to change or a lot is going to change.
Jeremy Grant, a 20-point scorer on the Kings?
No, not on this Kings team. No, no, no.
18, 17, 18?
He gets to the line. Each score, yeah. He's a three-level scorer. You know, you can
he's
give
a
him,
really good
you can
player.
Give him the ball in an isolation situation, and he can get a good shot for you. Like, those are things that he can do that I don't think Keegan can do. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's a better fit than Keegan Murray here in Sacramento as well.
Okay. Just think about how good Jeremy Grant was for the Nuggets before they brought in Aaron Gordon. That's the reason they needed Aaron Gordon, is to replace him. He can do a lot. He can play three. He can play four. He can sit there in the corner and shoot threes for you. He can slash. He can play make. He can defend. He's one of the best on ball, or he at one point was one of the better on ball defenders in the league. I remember there was, like, when he came to the Blazers, there's maybe two or three articles about him, you know, being like a high deflection guy. So, like, he can do a lot of things. Plus, honestly, he's being wasted in Portland. It's kind of sad that he's there.
Well, he's not poor, so that's fine.
How can he be happy, you know?
Well, I mean, he can just open up his Bank of America app or whatever app he has to determine his happiness.
He's also not that expensive. He's only making $29 million this year.
Okay.
Well, that's what the Odyssey says about Kenny. He's not that expensive. What? He's only making $29 million a year.
Stop it.
Why did you, how locked in were you to that Kings Nuggets game last night?
I watched the end of it because it was just like blowing up on social.
Pretty frantic. It was a pretty frantic final few minutes.
Yeah, it was. I think the stat that I saw that really made me concerned is...
Oh, there's a lot of those.
The points in the paint.
Yeah, that was
76
bad.
76 points in the paint. But the one thing that you can say on the good side is that overall for the year, Sacramento is a top 5 points points in the paint allowed team, only allowing like 44 points a game. And like that's a key. I mean, you could say, well, they're just allowing a lot of threes, and so why would anyone even want to drive on this? But yeah, like, I think it was just a tough matchup. You know, like you said, Aaron Gordon had what, seven dunks.
I think all 76 points came on dunks. They just kept dunking on the Kings over and over and over again. I think Will is wrong. Will has never been wrong with a stat before. He says seven dunks. I think he might have meant to put 17. It just felt like Aaron Gordon was dunking for all 41 points in the first quarter. They
and
were
honestly,
just getting run out of the gym.
That's a demoralizing bucket, like emotionally.
No, you know what made it demoralizing is the fact that they were down 21-6 when it happened. And he just catches the ball, dunks, and the team is literally standing around looking at each other like, you've got to be kidding me. And Mike didn't say the guy's name, but he was quick to point out the guy on the, you know, the backside or whatever just was ball watching. That's a specific player, and it's not going to, you know, take Sherlock Holmes to go back and look at the film and figure out what player he's talking about.
It's DeMar DeRozan.
How are you guys feeling?
I hate the look on your face as you ask this question, because I feel like you're ready to unload a DeMar DeRozan take.
I just want to say I have no DeMar DeRozan takes. I only have a look, which is, how are you feeling about him?
I don't feel no problem at all about him. He's perfectly fine. Not perfectly fine. He's not a perfect player, but I think it's crazy that people think DeMar DeRozan is the reason why this team is a game under 500, or even one of the top three reasons, because he's not.
How do you feel, Damian?
I don't think DeMar is the problem, but
that's not what I thought.
Yes, how I felt about DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan's
a good
ball player.
Is he a problem? Is he the problem? I'm saying, how are we feeling about the fit? are there things in his game that are making it easily able to be exploited? Like, is there a waterfall effect? What is the
Well, apparently there's a problem on the backside defense. Apparently there's that problem. I'll say DeMar has had some moments late in games that I've gotten a little frustrated with him. And I can't remember what specific, it was Memphis. Mm-hmm. The final 3.5 minutes of the Memphis game in Memphis, I thought was a disaster. And DeMar was the reason it was a disaster. De'Aaron was the reason it was a disaster. I thought everyone was playing one-on-one and ISO ball. And then last night, I thought he was great last night. And that play at the end of the game was run to perfection. He just fumbled the ball. Mm-hmm. If you ran the exact same play with the exact same defense, the exact same situation, he catches it, he dunks it. He probably does that 9 more times. It was the one time where either he took his eye off the ball, he was looking to see if he had room to dunk, if he had to pull up, like he could have had 50 things going through his head. But I don't think that that's a play that happens very often. He just fumbled the pass, couldn't do it, had to regroup, and then get whatever that shot was off up in the air. So I'm good with DeMar. I think DeMar fits here. I think he works. I think he works with De'Aaron. I think he works with Malik. We're seeing this offense score. You know, the number going into last night was 127 points per game. They scored 130 with Malik Monk in the starting lineup. So the offense is working. There just appears to be some issues on the defensive end. And it's really hard for me to point at DeMar DeRozan and say there are issues on the defensive end when through the last 2 years we've been talking about issues on the defensive end for this team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I just don't really know where the fix is for that. You know, I don't know if that's a coaching thing, like in terms of like defensive scheming and like the discipline of the players, or I don't know. I mean, we know that certain coaches tend to have, you know, really high quality defenses, like just across the board. We know that Budenholzer always runs a tight ship in terms of defense. I think the jury is still out on Mike Brown and his ability to field an elite defense.
Do you think they have enough on the roster to be better than when they're at right now? And what I mean better, I mean, let's just say 5 games over .500. They're 1 game under right now. Do you think they have enough on the roster right now to be a 5 games over .500 team, or do they need to make trades to get to the point where they're 5 games over .500?
I mean, I think it's possible. I think that if everybody's operating at their best, then yes, right? If we go back to 2022 season Kevin Huerter, where he's hitting game winners, if we go back to like Keegan Murray at his best, where he's, you know, making 6 threes in a game, and DeMar is like Chicago Bulls fourth quarter clutch DeMar, and Sabonis is shooting 3-pointers at the clip that he did in Indy and like still playing at the level that he's been playing in Sacramento. And Keon is Keon from when I was making videos about him singing falsetto. And like, if everybody's operating like that, then yeah, but that's kind of like a lot of teams, you know, on any given night when everyone's clicking on all cylinders, you're a really good team. It's really the variance between how good this team can be and how bad this team can be, and how erratic that feels to me.
How'd that falsetto go?
In a falsetto, ooh, ooh, baby,
Well done. Who you got tonight in the Cup Championship? Are you dying a little that the Bucks have regrouped?
Yes! Yes! Let them wear themselves out.
There it is.
Let them wear themselves out. Yeah, I mean, Giannis playing at an MVP level and stopping with the tomfoolery has certainly helped them a lot, right? It is giving Doc all of the cover that he possibly needs, right? And we've been talking about Giannis having no bag for like 5 years, and he's always been trying to do a little tween, step back, mid-range situation. And it's like, no, stop doing that. And he has. He's cut way down, and he's like, I'm going downhill, and I'm going to dunk on your face. Like, that's what I'm doing, is be Giannis. So, yeah, it bothers me. It bothers me. I had a friend text me about how Doc gets the best out of his players. And I was like, okay, this is what Giannis is doing for Doc right now. Because that is crap. That's not true. And I know it's not true. I've heard multiple players tell me personal stories about how Doc bus-tossed them. Like, just straight bus-tossed them. I had one player, I'm not going to say who it is, and we were talking, and they said when they were playing for Philly, they wanted to have a meeting with Doc. And Doc was like, fine, I'll meet you in the hotel lobby, which is code for, I'm not really trying to hear what you have to say. Otherwise, we would meet in a more formal setting. But sure, come meet me in the lobby of the hotel. He meets him in the hotel lobby, doesn't even get to talk about whatever he was wanting to talk about with Doc. Doc only wants to talk about how James Harden wouldn't get on the team plane and is going with this person, going on this plane with a little baby, and how he's selfish. He's not a good teammate. And da 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 da. And the guy is like, okay, like, Doc, like, what is this? So then they're in film, right? They're in film a few days later, and Doc's like, James, we need you. Do it, Kenny. James, we need you to be on the team plane. You got to be a better team player. And even so-and-so was saying, like, how BS it was that you didn't go on the team plane. And we had a meeting, and that was all that player could talk about, was how badly you're hurting this team. And James looks at the player like just laser beams to his head. The guy who desperately needs the ball from James Harden. Possibly was in a contract year. And it's like, that's Doc Rivers in a nutshell.
Casey was so locked in to what he was reading, he completely missed that. She called for an impression right there.
I did miss
I
that.
Called for a doc,
she
no,
literally I called a doc, for the Doc Rivers
I was
trying, impression.
I was pulling my computer back up. I missed that point. But it was crazy that Doc did that and said, I was just talking to so-and-so. And he said, it's terrible that you're late. Actually, he said, I was just talking to so-and-so, and he told me it was ridiculous that you're never on the team plane, that you're out there with Lil Baby. I know you had Fashion Week.
Well, Doc complaining about Lil Baby is kind of funny. That's pretty exciting. I just want to envision Doc throwing oranges at the wall, yelling about Lil Baby.
Doc Rivers, for some reason, follows me on Instagram, and I'm like, I'm not
I can
fan.
Think of a reason.
Yeah. It's not hard. It ain't hard to tell.
I don't put any thirst traps out for that. Hey, if he's looking for that, it's not coming.
Hey, shout out to Giannis, too. He's the best player in the world right now. I have no disrespect to Jokic, but he's the best player in the world today. And for the second time, one of the more underrated plays that is a signature of Giannis, that he did it again in the semifinals, the block of the alley-oop is his staple. Mm-hmm. That play that he did in the finals against Phoenix a couple years ago against DeAndre Ayton, I think that's one of the 10 to 15 greatest plays in the history of the NBA. And he did it again to Clint Capella on Saturday. I'm just in awe when he does that. It's fantastic.
I still have OKC. I think I have to. This is a fascinating game.
Yeah, it is.
It's just – Yeah, it is. You've got like – all of these great perimeter defenders and a great defender with Alex Caruso in the gaps and Hartenstein, who's been playing awesome. And then, like, how does that match up with Giannis? Like, is Giannis going to just break this whole thing wide open? What is that going to look like? How is Dame going to be able to play while he's in prison against Lou Dort and probably
like
Shea?
Sounds like a hope. Sounds like a hope, not that, because Dame is killing. Ain't nobody put the clink on Dame lately. He's been open.
Dame's been very up and down. Dame's had some great. I mean, even his last game, he wasn't that efficient. I mean, he's shooting a lot of shots. That's what we know, and that's not meant to hate on Dame at all. I wish Dame the best, as you guys know.
I think I have OKC in this one, too. OKC's record's now like that of Cleveland and Boston.
Yeah.
It's not like the best in the Western Conference anymore. It's one of the best in the entire league.
Mm-hmm. They're killing right now. They're playing great.
They're so fun, too, right? Like, Jalen Williams is super fun. They just have a really good roster, and Chet's not even on this team right now. When he comes back, what is that going to look like? Just the fleecing of getting Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey, chef's kiss, and picking up Isaiah Hartenstein out of free agency.
You know, people might say this about the Beam, and I understand. Here in Sacramento, we love, you know, light the Beam.
I think it should be destroyed, but blow up the Beam.
But people can feel this way, what I'm about to say about the Beam, and I understand that it is a local thing. It is with the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, are we talking about the dog pound?
Yeah, I'm a little tired of the post-game seven guys back there running. At least the Salters told me, shut the hell up, we're live. I'm tired. SGA's talking. All you guys go. Maybe do something off of camera or something like that. I'm tired of it.
You're a hating old man. That's all it is.
I don't want to see it no more.
Well, you're right. That's what people say about the Beam.
Yeah, well.
I personally think you should blow the Beam up.
B-Lo and JC and OKC are probably like, this is great.
Yeah, they might be.
Really quick, not to change subjects too crazy, but did you see when they asked Jimmy Butler about his hairstyle?
No.
I didn't see. I saw you posted a video about it, but I didn't get to watch it.
I'm pretty Jimmy Butler, I'm pretty confident. For other reasons I can't mention off camera.
You're going to have to, Jesus Christ, man. You're going to have to run all of that back. No, you froze. You're going to have to run that back. We don't know what you said.
Dang. What I said was, as you guys saw, I made the video about Jimmy Butler and his hairstyles, right? Yep. Coinciding with his trade destinations.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure it made its way to Jimmy. Because when they asked him about it, my text on screen said, Jimmy Butler with the subliminals. And they asked Jimmy, hey, like, why are you changing your hairstyle? And he goes, it's no subliminals.
Nice.
There's no subliminals here.
Very
nice.
I just
change my hair whenever I want to change it. So anyway, the reason I'm bringing that up now is because I got a text from someone in the know that posted... This is Jimmy Butler's best friend. I'm getting.
Oh, careful, Tyler. Yeah. Be careful,
no, Tyler, the pest control guy.
Careful, girl. You done yet? Yep. Okay.
Notifications. So the best friend thinks Jimmy should be in Phoenix. I'm gonna make a video about this, but I think if you have your best friend, you're not like allowing them to post all this. Mm-hmm. Propaganda for you if you don't believe, like, hey, get me the hell out, I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's... I think it's on its way.
TK cooking. For those who couldn't see the picture, it was Jimmy Butler in a Suns uniform. Mm-hmm. With Devin Booker and Kevin Durant
and Bradley Beal's gone.
Bradley Beal was not in that picture, so Bradley Beal is in firm control over this deal. Yeah. For Jimmy Butler, though.
Definitely.
Not many people have gone, nah, I don't want to go to Miami.
Well, if you're Bradley Beal, wouldn't you say yes to the no state tax, though, in warm weather?
I don't think there's state tax in – no, there is state tax in Arizona.
There is in Arizona, for sure. Yeah. I think it's like 9%.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, TK.
Are you guys off next week or what?
We are. We are very – well, next Tuesday is Christmas Eve. We're going to work next Monday, so you can always join us on Monday, but we are we're out after that.
Send me a link.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, Monday's going to be a vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monday's going to be major last day of school vibes. But the Kings play the night before, so they play the Pacers at the Golden 1 Center. They got the back-to-back with the Lakers and the Pacers, so we can't miss that. Okay, cool. So we'll see you Monday then.
See you Monday, guys. Merry Christmas.
All right, TK. That's our girl, Trista Crick, right there. We'll come back. Okay, we'll come back. Stilo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, Jason Jones coming up at 3:13. Plenty to talk with him about. We'll talk. I'm sure he was one of the few and the proud that were watching Monday Night Football last night. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. We talked a little bit about this with TK. The NBA Cup Final is set for tonight. We didn't mention this. The All-Star change was announced today.
Yeah, they're really
going forward with this thing.
I saw that, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. I think, I'm one of the main people that was like, this is getting a little ridiculous when I would see, you know, the 200-point games and stuff like that. So I didn't like it, but I also looked at the All-Star game for what it was, right? Like, I'm not looking for this super competitive test of skill. Like, it's a break in the action. It's an acknowledgement of some of the great players in the game. So it's kind of whatever. What they're doing right here with this, you know, mini tournament with four teams, all right, I'll give it a chance. I'll see what it's looking like, but it kind of seems a little unnecessary.
Can I tell you what I immediately hate about it? Let's give you the nuts and bolts of this for those of you who haven't heard yet. 24 NBA All-Star selections divided evenly into 3 8-player teams. The fourth team is the Rising Stars champion. Two teams meet in one semifinal. The remaining teams meet in another semifinal. Winning teams from game one and two advance to face each other in the championship. Winner of each game is first team to reach or surpass 40 points. Great. The honorary team general managers is where you lose me. There is no reason for Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny Smith, or Candace Parker to be a part of this. None. This doesn't need to happen. What is the purpose of this? Okay.
To put ads on the draft show that you'll do?
They're not entertaining in this form. This is where stuff gets stupid. This is where stuff gets, like, overly silly. Like, if you wanted to use players, like, use players. Like, that's fine. That's more intriguing. This is dumb. Like, constantly putting on these four in the spotlight on this unnecessary. This is so unnecessary to me. This, to me, is completely worthless. I had little interest in watching an All-Star game. I have no interest in watching this. I will not pay attention to this.
For me, whatever the All-Star game used to be is completely dead. So I feel like if you want the All-Star game to be something, might as well embrace this. If you're like D-Lo, then keep it moving.
The second you start inserting characters into the process, like, I'm out. It's cool. Like, I'm good.
You're not ready for Candace Parker cam during the game?
I don't need this. I don't need any of this. How is this different? This is no different than the celebrity basketball game with Stephen A. Smith as the coach. All right, man. I'm cool.
Well, you got, yeah.
We don't need this.
You got those guys playing. It's one of those things.
You got who playing?
You got NBA players playing.
Oh. I mean the spectacle. Right. Hey, Biebs can hoop. Leave Biebs alone. I just meant the spectacle of it all feels like, okay, I don't need to watch this.
Yeah, I mean, some people...
That'd be the top four vote-getters. Or how many is it?
I mean, that wasn't very
one, two, three, four.
Entertaining.
Well, that wouldn't work. It'd have to be the top three. I thought the drafting was entertaining.
It was okay. It was okay. Like, it was.
It would be better than this.
I mean, some people really like these guys. You know, it's almost like Yankees and Red Sox, right? Like, we got tired of seeing them, or we get
tired because they play 97 times a year.
We get tired of seeing the Cowboys on TV or the Lakers on TV, but they do numbers, and inside and Shaq, Kenny, they do numbers. So, I don't have a big problem with that. Like, it's whatever. To me, they are entertaining. And when you talk about the game, like, they're trying something to keep people locked into to the event, which wasn't happening before.
And I don't think it's going to happen now.
It might not, but they're trying. They're trying something that they feel they needed to do. Like I said, as ridiculous as I think the game was, you know, in recent memory with, you know, the lack of defense and everything, mm-hmm. It was like, if it didn't change, it didn't bother me because it's an All-Star game. It's an event and an acknowledgement. But, you know, they want to put some type of competitive excuse me, some type of competitiveness to the game. They're trying it, and they're bringing a little entertainment as well, or what they think is entertainment.
All right. We'll salute. Good luck. Okay, so Kenny's going to die. We'll stay live on the stream as Kenny's death is imminent. I thought it was going to be me that was going to go first. Turns out it's going to be Kenny. I'm sorry. I know this is annoying. We're going to step out real quick. We're going to come back. We're going to reset. Obviously, we went a little too long in talking to Trista Crick right there. So we'll step out. We'll get everything back on track, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about some things that we've heard regarding that Sac State vacancy, some clarity coming in to place, courtesy of our man Joe Davidson over at the Sacramento Bee. And, well, there were pro football games last night. Steeler and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we're back with these phone lines open. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on the conversation, we have dissected last night's Kings loss for a lengthy period of time. TK brought up the 76 pain points, 76-58, and how brutal those were. Russell Westbrook had 16 points in the paint alone, as he was 8 of 10. In there, and I, you know, it's worth mentioning before we move along. I think Mike talking about attention to detail again last night was really concerning.
Understandably so,
because it's not the first time he's used that phrase. It's not the first time. I mean, hell, we heard attention to detail with the first play of the game thing, which was like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The fact that the same thing continues to be an issue is a problem.
This may not make you or anybody else feel good or feel better about the situation. I'll ask you, I shouldn't assume. You talked about Malik on the podium. Mm-hmm. You look at DeMar DeRozan, and there was some frustration walking off the court. On the last play, I had the game playing back. It's funny, but it's understandable. Jay Triano slams the water bottle down on the ground.
And Jay's the play, like, he drew up the play, right?
Yeah,
I think Jay drew up the play.
And he slams the bottle. There was a level of frustration and hurt that I felt from that team last night. Even Mike Brown, the way he talked, he came on and he spoke, and it wasn't like...
Kenny didn't die during the commercial.
No, I'm still here. He's still standing. I'm still strong.
Now Prize Picks is going in on will D'Lo or Casey die first?
More or less.
20 and a half days, more or less.
I feel like they felt that one last night. And sometimes it could be a case where when things go wrong, and, you know, there's lack of execution, or they don't win or something. Oh, no, I mean, you know, we'll be all right. You know, it's early. We just got to get some things. They didn't, if collectively, it didn't feel like they felt that last night. They feel like we messed up. And I only say all this to bring up maybe that's what they need. Maybe they needed to feel one. Maybe they needed to feel a loss and feel some pain. You know, and realize, like, no, it's serious. I don't know if it guarantees them turning the season around or nothing like that. But last night was one of the first times all year from a number of different people. It wasn't just business as usual. It wasn't just, oh, it's early. Like, that one hurt, it felt like. And I don't know. That could be a good thing. Could be a good thing.
Okay. I hear you. It shouldn't take the 14. You laid out all the reasons why. I understand. We shouldn't be this far. Like, the Timberwolves game should have hurt.
That is a built-in excuse for that one.
Okay. You had 60 from your star.
Yeah, but DeMar wasn't there. Sabonis wasn't there.
You had 60 from your star. Like, that should have hurt. You let if nothing else, you let him down.
But who did? Isaac Jones?
Yes, the guys who were on the floor. You played well enough to be in that game. You were in that, wasn't that when that game in overtime?
Mm-hmm.
You play well enough. The game should
hurt. What I'm saying. There's a built-in, like, what, it hurt Keegan DeMar DeRozan?
It should have. Keegan didn't play last night. Keegan didn't play last night.
No, Keegan.
We're reaching. I think we're reaching.
But we both saw something, though, right? We saw Malik looking different than what he did.
Yes, we did.
Like, it hit them harder than a loss against Utah. Or they didn't lose to Utah. Against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't get to the podium or anything and just be like, oh, man, you know, and snap out of it. Mm-hmm. Last night, they were, even DeMar after walking off the court, cursing at himself.
Mm-hmm.
That one hurt them last night. It may be too late. Like, what you're saying can still be true. Like, there may be just a problem in general that is too late to come back from. But last night, when you combine those guys, the Maliks, the Mike Browns, the DeMar DeRozan, and even Sabonis, Jay Triano, like, that one stung.
Tell me if I'm overreacting. Here's Malik and De'Aaron Fox. They're at the podium together. I watched this morning. I wasn't listening for I'm pretty sure this is clean. Tell me if I'm overreacting to Malik Monk here. I'm going to let this run for a couple of minutes. But here are Malik and De'Aaron Post.
Hey, guys. What exactly happened there in the first quarter that allowed you guys to come out to such a slow start James and Hammy fall behind by 20? And then how did you guys flip the switch in that second and third quarter?
I think they hit us first. I mean, offensive rebounds, layups, and they scored 76 points in the paint. I think they're number one or number two in points in the paint and then number one in fast break points this year. So we knew how they played. We knew what they were going to try to come out and do, and we didn't stop it. Like, obviously 21 is not a great quarter, but if we're better defensively, we might only be down, you know, eight. Or even if we gave a 30-point quarter, you're down nine. So 41 points in a quarter is way too many for anybody.
Hey, guys. Coach just said that you guys are not locking in on the details, and that's possibly why you guys are slipping in some of these games that are very close. How do you guys lock in better?
It's hurting.
How we lock in better? That's a hard question, bro. It's just on us, really. Just be locked in from the get-go. Can't really say what we can do better. We just got to be locked in from the jump ball on those things he said, like boxing out, getting on the floor for loose balls, getting rebounds, second chance points, not fouling, things like that. We just got to be on our toes from the get-go instead of letting them put us on our toes.
We'll play more of this courtesy of Sean Cunningham at 540. Am I overreacting?
No, I don't think you're overreacting. I mean, I think what I got from that is Malik Monk maybe almost saying, like, we've talked about this.
Mm.
Like, we've talked about this before internally or at the podium or practice or something like that. What I took from that is him saying, what I say doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, I don't know what you want me to say. It just has to be done. So you asked me the question, Jay Gayden, and I have to answer it. It's my job, but it doesn't even matter. Like, we didn't tonight. This continues to happen, and we just have to figure out how to keep it from happening.
You think they're on the same page with what their issues are?
So who do you mean by they? The players or the players and the coaches?
Players and the coaches, I guess. Yeah, players and coaches.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't answer that with a lot of confidence.
Because I'm just asking, because Malik is like hesitant with that question or whatever. And he's like, yeah, it's on us or whatever. But like, I don't know if he's actually being like serious. Like, yeah, it's on us. Or he's like, you know what? Yeah, we'll just answer this question and get on with it.
I mean, yeah, there's a possibility that the players may feel like there's another issue.
But I'm just asking too.
Yeah,
I got you.
Comparing to just saying we have to be locked in, there's a possibility of that being the case. That one last night and the issues and where they really really struggled was with the starting group. Starting group was out there getting beat up 24-6. Starting group was in there at the end of the game. I wouldn't necessarily, and maybe the answer, they need help in the middle part of the game from the bench and all this stuff. But when you talk about focus going into the game, that's not on Isaac Jones at the start of the game. Mm-hmm. It's on those guys that are starting, you know, out there at the tip.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know where else. When you start off the game down 24-6, yeah, I'm not sure where else those players could look.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't be on the same page as Mike. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.